Alrighty, well, just wanted to welcome everyone to the LH1 Live. This is June's call, which is crazy that it's already June. The month is flying by, or the year's flying by, for that matter. I'm going to try and keep everyone unmuted at the moment, just because I want it to be an open forum. But if you don't mind, if you are standing near a TV or anything like that, if you don't mind muting yourself, I hear a TV back there, or anything else, and if you would like
to.
Ooh, perfect. Thank you. And but please, we want to make sure if you want to jump right in, we'd love to hear your input or advice, definitely. My name is Jessica. I am one of the LH1 Live hosts. Maria is actually the host for this month. I'm just jumping in until she pops back in. So she will be joining us soon and will be taking over. And Andy Marks is our other host. Andy, are you on the line?
I am. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Andy.
So good to hear your voice over there.
Yeah.
Well, we are excited for June's call. So we're loving the open topic lately. It's been a really good resource for a lot of people just because we're all learning something new, I feel like, every single day. And there's always something that's popping up, especially with technology, that we're able to learn from each other. So we're all talking about topics for like what's kind of hot going on and what we can learn from. And so we came up with the topic of summer fun. And we were talking about summer fun because, excuse me. Sorry, I'm like, oh my gosh, I apologize. Like choking on something back here. It's bad. So we are talking about summer fun, and a couple of people are just kind of giving inspiration, whether we're jumping on airplanes and traveling the airports or going to concerts and having to navigate how to get to the bathroom by yourself, or what if you want to go to the concession stand and different things like that. So I really wanted to open up the floor, and one of the stories that inspired me was from Cindy, and I saw her post that was on the LH1 to LH1 page when she was talking about going to a concert a couple weeks ago and what people's best advice were for maybe earplugs, but then also people's advice for how do you get to the bathroom if you don't want the person that you're with to have to get up and step away from the concert themselves, and how do people navigate that. And that kind of really inspired us to, like, there's definitely probably some tips and tricks that people have, and like, what do people do? So yeah, just kind of wanted to open that up for discussion, and if anyone has some summer plans and maybe how they decide to conquer them.
Well, when I travel by air, I am helped from the moment I'm dropped off at the curb to getting on the actual airplane. Baggage claim, and then they I like to fly American Airlines usually, and they're so helpful, and they take me through the security line. I'm telling you, that's, you know, you can almost count on two hands how being legally blind is helpful. Okay, one of the things being legally blind is helpful with is getting through security clearance. You get,
that's right.
They take you to the head of the line, and you pass everybody by, and they take you through. You're at the head of the line. You don't have to wait. They take you through security clearance, and at least that's what happens with me. And I have my personal own person helping me. And, you know, they put my bags on the thing, and I walk through, and I usually have my cane with me, and that gets x-rayed, and they take my hand and lead me through, although I know I could walk through by myself, but I don't tell them, and they take my hand. I'll take all the help I can get, and she even helps me put my shoes on, and, you know, whatever they're going to give me, I take, and they walk me to the gate, and I go on first, even before the little kids, and even before first class, and I'll go on, and I'm on my seat first, and when I get my ticket, I make sure that I get this service. So when you travel by air, just ask for the help and you'll get it. That's my tip.
Well, I'll go with that too about the plane, because I haven't flown for a long time, as Wayne from Florida. But when I was years back, when I was going back and forth from Maryland to Florida quite a bit, and it was like I'd go in there and I just told them about my vision, but they, you know, once I got past the holding the elbow, no, I don't need to, you know, hold elbows. No, I don't need a wheelchair. And I just said, I can't read the gates. I can't read signs above me. Just get me to where I'm going. And they, like you said about Chris, security, you know, they just unlock the little canvas belt. They walk you way ahead of everybody, you know, if there's a line. And people would look at me, and I wasn't dressed like anything, you know, like important. And the guy looks at me, you must be late. I go, no. I didn't know what's that. I just go, no. And just
you're
keep
a
on going.
Star, that's why.
Yes, that's it. But no, and then I'd get in, I'd say, you know, I can't see well enough to read the seat numbers. So if you could just tell me what this one is, and I can count them, but they'd always go, nope, we'll walk you back. And so, yeah, that was a benefit.
Oh, and I want to add one thing. When I got to my seat, after they told all the passengers about the safety features, they personally came back to me and told me where I was sitting. They knew, you know, about my vision. So they would tell me exactly what exit I should go to. And they told me there'd be lighting on the floor. And in the event of any trouble, they would come back and get me. And they reassured me as to where I should go. And what I got my own personal safety update as to what to do and what they would do for me. Tell them these things. So in the event of an emergency, they know where you're sitting and they would come to your aid. And then when we landed, they did everything for me in reverse till I got to baggage claim and was met by my family member or whoever was meeting me. I mean, they took care of me coming and you know, going to the airport and then arriving. It was done in reverse. So if you tell them, they'll do this for you. All it cost me was some tip money.
What do you guys do about the menus? Do you just rely on somebody? Like, what if you're out and about and you're traveling maybe by yourself, or I don't know, like, what do you guys do about menus? Do you just ask the friend next to you to read the menu to you, or a loved one, or do you break out your phone and look for a PDF? Or
I usually look at it online before we go somewhere. So okay. If you know where we're going, which usually we do, or Susie will send me the link. But I have a real problem with cursive writing. And then sometimes the way, whatever colors, you know, I just can't read it, but, you know, contrast is always good. The black and white type of thing and just regular print.
Hey, Jessica, it's Andy here, up in the New York City area. I would agree with Wayne there. I'd also point out the fact that I tend to ask lots of questions of waiters and staff. If I'm going to a restaurant, I make a point of every person that I interact with from the time I enter to the time I'm ordering, that I'm asking them their favorite things to eat there and what they order and those types of things, because that's an easy way to get at least two or three of the most popular things, and normally I can pick from that. I don't need to know the whole Cheesecake Factory menu to know what I want to order. And I'd also say that goes through to a lot of the other things you asked about, specifically the bathroom stuff. Like, my approach when it comes to lots of those things, rather than getting very comfortable with the one person I'm with to the point where they will take me wherever I want, I'd rather get a little bit of help from a lot of people rather than a lot of help from one person. So I will, if I'm at somewhere big, I'll say, hey, like, do you mind pointing me what direction is the bathroom in? And then I'll walk over that way. And then if I don't find it, I'll ask someone else right there. And that way I'm not taking anyone out of their whole day, but I'm getting a lot of people to point me in the right direction. And I find that to be more helpful for me, at least.
But you have your cane most of the time, right?
Nearby, especially. So if I will have it down if I think that's helpful. If I'm in a restaurant with someone and I'm like navigating around and I've been with all of my friends and don't have my cane down, I am comfortable asking people who work there, hey, the bathroom, is it that way or is it that way? And then I'll kind of walk that way and find doors and then ask as well. I hate it when the sign for the bathroom is like way up on the ceiling, but otherwise I can normally read a door pretty well.
Or it says something beside men's or women.
Yeah.
You know, it's something else. But, yeah, I'll usually, if it's somewhere I haven't been, I'll have Susie, hey, show me or tell me, soon we come in, like, where's the bathroom? Or, and then I can find it myself after that. And I don't carry a cane, so it's not, you know, somebody looks and sees a cane and says, oh, he can't see. But, or a place that we've been there familiar, we've been there before, then I know where they are, usually.
Even when you have a cane, it doesn't always, the person doesn't know what a cane means, not always, you know.
No, they think it's a ski.
A white ski pole on a hot summer day.
Yeah,
a
ski pole in the doctor's office.
Yeah, that's right. Excuse me, ma'am, why are you carrying a white ski pole on such a hot day?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I actually got asked if it was a hipster thing, and I was like, what?
First of all,
I'm not complaining. Just always carry your cane, you know, because if something goes amiss, at least they know that you've got eyesight problems.
True.
Oops, I guess I've lost everybody.
No,
we can hear you.
No?
We agree. I agree.
No, I've been in conditions where I've left my cane in the car, and there's been bad situations. If I had my cane, it would have been pretty good. And also, majority of canes have a ball on them, so they know that you're just need mobility issues.
Yeah, especially living on my own and just having to navigate different things. I've just found that breaking up my cane and using those situations, like, I started a new job on Monday and I needed an Ethernet cable for my computer, which is really weird because, I mean, it's 2019. I didn't know I had to be like hardwired to my modem. So I had no one around. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I had no one like that could come to my house and take me to Best Buy at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I called Uber and I had my cane in my hand. Like I walked out to the car without my cane, but I had it in my hand. So I said, are you dropping me off in front of Best Buy? And he's like, yeah, it's right there. Well, like we're in a strip center. So like right there. And I'm like, you mean like right there? And I pointed and he looked at me like I was a moron. And so I was just like, I'm just visually impaired. I'm just confirming so I get out in the right spot. And so I walk into Best Buy, I have my cane down and so and ask for help or whatever. And after that, I had to go to UPS, which I knew was in the same complex, just no idea where it was because I'd never been in this area. And so it was hilarious because as I'm walking down, I have my cane. I'm walking towards, they told me to go to the end of the complex, the strip, and make a left. And I was like, okay, that's kind of some big details. But I was like, I can just go for it. And I'm walking past Walmart, and like all Walmarts kind of smell the same, don't you guys think? And so I'm walking and I can tell that there's a Walmart and the guy goes, ma'am, come towards my voice. This is Walmart. And I was like, no, thank you. And I'm like, I'm looking for UPS. And he goes, it's that way. And I was like, what's that way? And it was just a lot easier having a cane to be able to get better description. And just to reiterate what Andy said, I would just ask people along the way. And so I'm like, is this door UPS? They're like, next one. And eventually one person like stood at the end of the strip center. She kept going, keep going. And eventually I got in, but it was great. I just asked people along the way and I walked into the nail salon and they're like, it's to the left. And so, I don't think I could have gotten that far or gotten that help if I didn't have my cane for sure. But my vision's also to the point that I need that.
Jessica, if you had the Around Me app, you could turn the Around Me app on and point it 360, and it would find the UPS store for you.
What's it called? Run Me?
Around Me.
Oh, Around Me. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
The new canes that come in always have GPS in them, and they also have lighting. It's amazing how the canes are evolved. Unfortunately, they're not all going to be white, and they have to keep making them white. But so be it.
Oh, wow.
But I just found out yesterday that in the handle. But, they're doing things which aren't correct. It should always be a white cane. It's taken 100 years for that cane to be established as a mark. And we're having a hard time letting people know what blindness is. Like, if you're in a wheelchair, they know you're handicapped.
Right.
But because you're wandering around with this pool cue in your hand, or ski pole, as some people say, they don't really understand what's going on. It's sometimes.
It's true. So are they really getting GPS? Is that real?
I was at the Vancouver Elhan symposium.
Yeah.
And what they did for sighted people, they took like a racquetball or tennis glasses, and they wrapped cellophane around them 5 times to let people know what people at Elhan are going through. And they're tethered up to another sighted person. And I thought it was an excellent idea, because you're looking through ice cubes or whatever the way you want to describe it. And I think that was a pretty good thing, in the sense of and I think we're down to an education thing. We're going from the cane to education to whatever the case may be.
It's a great point. It's, and especially people are just really curious. I feel like so many times I run into just kind of the education thing, like you said. I was on the call, or I was at work today, and I had some questions, so I contacted my IT person. Well, my computer was completely zoomed in, and I had JAWS on. So I turned off these things so then they could get on the computer. And they're like, can I ask what you can see? And in a lot of situations, maybe an inappropriate question, but they were just curious, And so it was a lot of education with so many IT people today as they jumped on my computer, saw it zoomed, and heard it talking. What does this mean? And what can you see? And how does this help you? And they weren't familiar with assistive technology, and it's a lot about education. But once people know, people are so helpful. I mean, no one thinks twice about it after you kind of educate them,
Absolutely.
And I think that even happened, was helpful with traveling and concerts and gosh, anything we probably can run into if you kind of share a little bit of light or, hey, I can't see this, or I have a hard time seeing, or I'm visually impaired, or whatever the lingo that you use for that moment. I say that moment because I change it up all the time. People are so apt to, and willing to help in so many situations.
There's always help.
For sure.
People may not all know what a white cane is, but when you say blind, they know what that means.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And we don't have Lissa to be plugging these things that we're talking about. So I will try to keep note. Actually, I should be doing that right now. And do around, and so we can all add Around Me. I've actually never heard about it. So will that work wherever I go, Howard? Can I just open my camera? How does that work?
I assume so. It's an iPhone app, and you just point the phone 360 around you, and it'll tell you all the things that are there within maybe a quarter of a mile.
Oh, wow. And is it a person, or how do they recognize these things?
They're all on the GPS.
Oh, duh, yeah. Okay.
Pretty amazing.
That's cool.
The other good one is called Surround Sound by Microsoft. That's free, too.
And what's that one?
Surround Sound.
Yeah, what does it do?
It, as you move as you go from place to place, it'll tell you where a crosswalk is, where what the names of the streets are, what intersections are coming up. So if you're walking down the street, you'll know what the streets are that you're on and coming to, and where the crosswalks are and where the bus stops are.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's really helpful.
Yeah, that's similar to the app. I think it's called Soundscape. Is that what it's called? Cool. I think so.
Yeah. You've got the right name. Soundscape.
And Jessica, we can certainly add all of these links to the post tomorrow if we want to as well. That's not an issue.
Okay.
Yeah, the Microsoft app is called Soundscape, and it relies on the same GPS and compass within your phone. And some people may have better experience with that than I do. I mean, my GPS and my phone is certainly starting to work less well. And when you're in a very, very urban area, sometimes it will have your street wrong and those types of things. But generally, those kinds of apps are really helpful, especially when you can be using headphones and they can actually direct you. Soundscape does, at least. It will direct you kind of virtually through your two different headphones. So when it indicates where you need to go, you will hear the noise kind of in the direction you need to go if you have both your right and left headphones in at the time.
That's very cool.
3D audio.
Yes. I don't know if anyone here has ever listened to like the virtual.
Listen to what?
I don't know if anyone here has ever listened to the virtual haircut or anything like that, but very cool technology out there that can kind of do this kind of 3D audio stuff.
Virtual haircut?
I'll add a post for it at some point. It's an old clip, actually, but it's a clip that someone created where basically if you're listening to this audio with appropriate right and left headphones in at the time and your eyes closed, you basically hear this barber walk around the room, close the door, cut your hair, and it kind of goes all around your head, and you can hear where he's coming from. It's just a good example of that 3D audio that Soundscape uses as well to indicate where you need to go.
Very cool.
That's amazing.
Huh. So the other thing you can do with Soundscape is if someone else is driving you, you put your earbuds or pods in, and you run that thing, and you get a running narration of where you are and what's around you. It's kind of fun.
Wow.
Ooh, that's cool.
And you can narrate to the driver until they tell you that's enough and don't want to hear anymore.
Now, will that work? I know I'm asking this question. Everybody's going to laugh. For those of you who know me, it's Lisa.
Will it work in Canada?
Yeah.
Download it and try it.
Because nothing seems to work in Canada, or if it works, you have to pay for it. So, and also, will it work on an iPad, or do you have to have an iPhone?
It will work with your iPad if you have a cellular data plan for your iPad, which most people don't. They just use their iPad with Wi-Fi.
Right.
So it relies on cellular data as it's moving around. So it most likely wouldn't work if you only connect to the internet with Wi-Fi.
Okay, got it.
Hey, Lisa, it's John in Connecticut. I'm going to be in Toronto on Friday of this week.
How are you?
And I have it on my phone. So I'll give it a try, at least in Toronto, and see if it works there. And I will also be in London, Ontario.
Yeah, like make a posting and let me know. I'm curious.
Yeah, but Howard's right. It's an amazing thing because it's directional. It tells you which way to go and where things are, right, left, behind you, in front of you. So I'll try it in Toronto and London and let you know.
Okay, thank you.
What about shopping? Or do you guys do, you're out and about, maybe you're staying in a beach town and have to run to the grocery store and pick up a few things before you guys head back down to your like rental or something, or I don't know. This is where Maria could tell us about like some beachy something. What, any other sort of navigation tools that help you guys get around or things like that?
Myself personally, if I'm doing grocery shopping, I usually have somebody coming with me because they're usually my driver. But if I do have to go by myself, I can walk to the store. But 9 times out of 10, it's usually a friend or my dear sweet mom, who's not on the call, driving me to the grocery store. But it's usually me saying, okay, here's my list. I've got my list all out because I'm very organized and to the point of being a little too anal about it. So I have everything alphabetically listed actually in the store. So I know exactly, okay, when we walk in the grocery store, the bread is the first thing. So I've got all my breads and buns all in one, together, and then all my fruit together, and then all my vegetables. I know it's kind of weird, but it just makes it easier for me and for the person that's shopping with me. It makes it a little bit easier. But the best is when I'm with people and they'll be like, well, I can't seem to find that. I don't think they have that. I'm like, are you sure? Because it's usually right over in this row over here. And they'll be like, no, I can't find it. I'm like, okay, hang on a second. I'll go find somebody. And, like, I'm gone, and they're looking at me going, where did she go? Oh, my God, I'm supposed to be helping her. And there's me looking, trying to find somebody in the store because I'm not afraid to ask somebody, excuse me, I have a vision disability. Can you help me find this? Oh, yeah, sure, not a problem. But the best is when I say that and they stop for a second. It's usually a younger kid that'll say that, and they'll go, what do you mean you have a vision disability? And I said, well, I don't see very well. And they're like, oh, well, you don't look different. I'm like, yeah, okay. We're not going through this again. Just can you show me where the peanut butter is? So they'll say, oh, it's right over there. And I'm like, no, I need you to actually physically show me where it is. Well, this happened the other day with my mom and I. We were looking for coffee. Couldn't find it. And the guy said, well, it's over by the peanut butter. I'm like, why would coffee and peanut butter be together? That doesn't make sense. And sure enough, it was, and we don't know why, but even my mom couldn't find the coffee. And I'm like, well, the guy said it was right here, Mom, so it's got to be here. And she's like, no, I don't see it there. And I'm like, okay, Mom, I'll give you credit. I love you dearly. But the guy's saying it's here. It's got to be here. Yeah, and it was there. So my suggestion to people is if you're doing it by yourself, don't be afraid to ask people for help. I usually go to the same places. And if they move things, then I'm in deep trouble because I can usually shop by myself and in and out of the store. But when things get moved around, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Now I don't know where something is, so now I have to go and ask somebody. But I guess for the new time people, and no, I don't carry a cane, so there's nothing to identify that I have a vision disability. So they would not know that. But don't be afraid to ask for help.
Exactly.
You may get people yelling at you, and then you can say to them, no, I have a vision disability, not a hearing problem.
Nice, I like that.
Yeah, I've gotten that several times.
We have some, this is Chris again, we have some grocery stores around us that you can shop online and, you know, they have, go to their website, you can shop online and, I think for visually impaired people who can't drive, that's awfully nice. You put your things in the cart that you want, and you want the 2% organic milk, and you get it early. So when the screen pops up, it's an item you buy almost all the time. So that's right away, and you just hit the button instead of searching for it all the time. the 2% or the organic milk pops up every time, and you just boom, it goes in your cart. Or if you use a certain detergent, that pops up all the time, and that's there. You don't have to search for it. So you could see if your local chain grocery stores in your area might have this feature, and then they'll deliver it to you, and you can shop online. That is certainly very handy and makes your life a whole lot easier. You don't have to depend on a ride for somebody, and you can, you know, get the things, the easy things you normally purchase on a routine basis. Easy way to get some things to your home, quick and easy. That's not a summer fun thing though, but
I have a really weird question. How do you guys tell if you have mold on your food?
Smell.
You just
eat
it? Just go for it?
No, that's, well, yeah, actually you should probably, the best would be have my son on the phone because he's eaten several pieces of mold over the years and then said to me, is it supposed to be green, Mom? I'm like, shoot. Okay, well, the first mistake is, okay, if you see a different color, you tell me. But when they're younger, they don't know any different. But
what I find is amazing with that is that what I'll do is I have any doubt and send it to somebody. And I'm going to say another thing with the store because, you know, I know what aisles I'm in and where I am, but I don't necessarily know what it can. And I'm holding it to my face, and I'm, is this, you know, I know what I'm getting. What I do now is take a picture and I enlarge it and I'm really big, and it is peas. So that kind of gives me a little bit more of an independence to, you know, go by myself. Or, you know, I don't tell Eric that, but I, that's what I do. Every now and then I'll just bring home something as a, you know, a mistake, and oh, I didn't know. Maybe you should go next time. But no, I think the other night, like waiting for the subway, there was a sign, and I'm like, oh, maybe the subway isn't here. Other people are like, you know what? I'm going to take a picture of this sign, see if it works. So I took a picture of the sign and I enlarged it really big, and it said it was and it was actually just for the weekend, and so I knew where I was safe. I knew it was a problem. The work they were doing was on the weekend, so it was kind of interesting that I could do that myself. And it's pretty amazing that you know where we are from where I was years ago. Like, oh, I'll never be able to do that. And you know, it does. It gives you some. You know, just taking the picture really makes such a difference sometimes. You know, like, if I can tell if I have mold, or if, you know, there's anything you can do. You can take a picture of it and ask somebody. You can just send it to somebody and say, what does this say? Or is the soap set for $3.50? Or whatever it is, you know. If you have any doubt, sometimes it's just good to reach out, I think.
Yeah,
if that makes any sense.
Good idea.
That's a very good question that you brought up there, Jessica.
I mean, I've been wondering if I've been eating mold all week, so I have no idea.
I've eaten plenty of mold, and I'm still around.
It's good for the soul, right? Like, raspberries were on sale for 97 cents. I feel like that's pretty cheap. And so I bought 6 of them, so I've been eating one a day. And by the 6th day, they're getting a little mushy, and I'm like, do you think it's mold? And I just go for it. And I mean, I'm still here too, so I could pass up a good deal.
I was eating a loaf of bread for like, I don't know, 2 days. My husband came home from a business trip and he said, oh my God. He said, this bread. He said, you haven't been eating this, have you? And I said, yes, I have. I mean, I didn't know.
That's funny.
Yeah. I eat my share of mold.
That comes up and finds mold. We need to match colors. We need to find mold.
Yeah, someone should develop an app. You're right.
That's a good idea. Usually you can smell it. It has like a different kind of smell.
And raspberries? No way.
On what?
Raspberries?
On raspberries? Well, raspberries, your first indication that there's mold on it, it would be very soft and squishy.
The texture. Yeah.
The texture of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So just don't eat the squishy ones.
No, probably not. So if they were on sale, chances are they probably weren't. They were past due, and that's why they were on sale, Jessica.
So don't buy six. Too late.
They were close to being perishable.
Yeah.
I have one left. I mean, I might as well go for it. Like, you know, when in doubt. And actually what I learned, so I also do the grocery delivery here and there. Kind of depends on what I'm looking for. And I'll ever so often, I mean, sometimes you get like the younger kids that could care less what my apple looks like, and they'll just chuck it in the bag and call it a day. And I was actually complaining about this the other day to my mom, and she was like, why don't you just send that back and say that you don't accept this like bruised apple, which I didn't really think about. This sounds probably logical to all of you. So I wrote back into my grocery store and said that like these apples were bruised. And I got refunded the money. And not that I'm trying to, like, be a cheapskate or something, but it's not an apple I would pick out. And so I was told to make sure you're very descriptive. Like, I want to make sure. And it sounds stupid that you have to say, I want a round apple that has no bruising and is red or whatever. But I felt like the better description, and that's what I'm told I need to do. Have you guys run into that? Sounds crazy. This is what people tell me to do. Like, the people at the grocery store told me to be more specific. Makes sense.
They shouldn't sell you a bruised apple.
I mean, all of this sounds like common sense, but I'm like, okay, like, that's what it takes. I'm in.
See, we don't have that service here in Winnipeg, so I have to touch and feel and pick it out myself, or somebody else helps me do it, but I can't believe you would have to tell somebody you don't want a bruised apple, though. Like, that's, wow. Okay.
So interesting.
Well, this is Chris's brother, Brian, who, she didn't mention this, but I owned a grocery store for 20 years. And maybe I could be the consultant here. But if you would have come to my store, I can assure you, you wouldn't have got any bruised apples or rotten tomatoes.
But, now my next question is, would you put the raspberries on sale?
Yes, and I can guarantee I wouldn't put peanut butter with my coffee too.
Okay.
That was a very poorly laid out store, so I'm feeling very critical of him at this moment. But for me, it's really weird because I was everybody's grocery guy in our small community for years, and then of course the big boys moved in and I decided it was time to become something else. But so I go in a grocery store and of course everybody knows me. I had 9,000 customers a week and it's so, you know, I'm like, who is that? You know, if they're up close, it's amazing the voice recognition you get, but
yeah,
it would be so kind of weird because people are there. I sell bedding and furniture and appliances now. And it's like, well, I spent $3,000 with that guy last week and he didn't say hi to me. So I have to make sure everybody knows I don't see him. But in the grocery store, that was always my go-to place because I know how to beat the system because I was the system. So, but all the things you're saying are good. But if you would have asked one of my employees where to find something, they wouldn't have questioned what you could see. So you got to come to East Grinnell, Pennsylvania to buy your groceries, I guess, because we'd have taken good care of you. But yeah, this online shopping is probably one of the answers, but I still like to go in there and just, it makes you feel part of the community when you do it, I guess. But anyway, I don't usually get on the line here. So I just want to say hi to everybody and come to East Grinnell to buy your groceries. I'll take good care of you.
He will. I can vouch for him.
Yeah. Will you deliver to Canada?
Will you be at the conference, Brian?
I'm coming to the conference. So,
good.
I was there 2 years ago and coming again this year. So I'm really looking forward to it. So I'll have a little booth there with a bag of groceries. Let them talk to me. I'll have a fruit stand set up.
I mean, I think you're on to something. Groceries are an everyday life where it's always the struggle. I feel like you have a business right here.
Yeah, it it's so frustrating when you've done that your whole life and then you have to ask for assistance. But I think fresh produce is really the tricky one. My wife said, if you, these tomatoes, why did you pick those? I said, well, I guess my finger didn't go through them when I picked them up. I don't know what to tell you, but I mean, I'm good on bananas. I will tell you that. I can see the yellow real good. But so there are challenges, but you know, it is, you just got to laugh it off and go back in and go back again. I have come home with some weird salad dressings and things of that nature, but she knows I love to do it, so she just lets me go. She's awesome. So, but at any rate, it is a challenge, but online you can do this stuff. But I just like, it's a chance to get out of the house and do some stuff or out of my store. So I love going.
You know, it's so true with everything, like bad apple, bad salad dressing. You just kind of all kind of take it in stride, like especially similar to what Andy said, you just ask for help along the way and, you know, walk into the nail salon instead of UPS. It's like a little bit of a joke and you keep moving on. You just like laugh about it. But it's a really good attitude to have just to kind of be able to carry on and, you know, just kind of make your way through the day and take on a new adventure.
Yeah, my sister here has told me, just laugh it off, Brian, because I got it a little bit later than she did. She said, just laugh it off. And that's the best. That's what you got to do.
Totally.
Hey, guys. My name is Kim. I'm new to this group. My sister is Candace. And how are you?
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hey,
glad to have you.
Good. Jessica, are you the one from Jessica Luma?
Yes, I am. I'm the faux host today.
Yes, I am. So you and I met at Dinner in the Dark a couple years ago.
I remember that in Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, I might be part of this group now. This one thing called Leavers with all the rest of you now. My right eye has been affected and I went to the doctor yesterday and went to the neuro ophthalmologist today and we did some tests and going to get an MRI and they think that it's probably the beginning onset of it, of Leavers. So I get to be part of the fun group.
Kim, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thanks.
But you definitely know we have a great support system here. And are you in Phoenix still?
Yep, I live in Sun City, but yeah, Peoria, Phoenix.
You have to go see my neuro ophthalmologist. She's the best.
I do. Yep. Let's see. She got married recently, right?
Yes. Kavakia. Yeah. Her.
Angela. Yeah.
Okay. Good. You're seeing her. Okay. Check. Good.
Yeah.
She's
amazing.
The best in Phoenix.
Yes. And so she's wanting it done really immediately. When I went yesterday. They scheduled another appointment for tomorrow, but they called me right back and said to get in today. So they saw that my optic nerves were a little bit more swollen today than they were yesterday in my right eye and seeing like a black in the middle of it. So I don't know, you know, my assumption is it's probably it, but who knows? It could be something different.
One day at a time, that's for sure. And
yep.
Especially, I mean, you have an amazing doctor, and I mean, your sister is a killer asset because she is like a little rock star. And this calls once a month, but we're always here to be any support that we could ever be here.
Awesome. Thank you, Jessica.
I was like, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this word, but like your sister's such a badass. Like you have like the best, you have a really good connection.
Hey, Jessica, I'm here. I hear you.
Oh, sorry. Oh, hello.
No, I just wanted to say hi, Kim.
Can I say this word?
I want to say hi, Kim. I'm glad you said hi. And then Chris and Brian, you guys are siblings and you both are affected?
Yes.
Ah, yes. This is a little tough for me, right?
There's four siblings and three of the four of us are affected.
Oh, wow. So I have four children and
three of mine are affected. And then I was affected. My youngest daughter and myself were affected the same, like basically the same time. And then my sons were affected years ago. I was affected when I was 38, and I'm 45 now. I know, it's just, it's so new, like, hearing my sister's story.
Anyway, yeah. That's it. I'm 54, and then I remember Jessica's aunt just became symptomatic when we did the I think it was the second Dinner in the Dark that you did.
Yeah, my aunt's affected, my uncle's affected, and I have one sibling and he's affected.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small world.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm 54.
Okay.
What?
I'm not going to say, but I'm sorry, what did you say?
Okay, I'm 54 and just started.
Is that Kim talking?
Yeah,
Kim.
Do we sound alike?
You guys do. Mm-hmm. And you guys laugh, have similar laughs, so I'm like trying to tell which one's which.
That's funny.
I am not.
I guess, when were you affected?
I was 38.
Oh, okay. So close-ish in
age. Yeah. So anybody have any thoughts or advice for Kim on the next couple of doctor visits that she's going to? I think she's getting an MRI on Friday and some blood work and the initial, because I think once you're around family for so long that you kind of forget and you just get it kind of gets normal. And I mean, even I forgot to be like, well, ask the doctor or the first doctor went like, ask I don't remember what I said, but I said, there's some certain questions that, we forget until we refresh our memories. So I forget.
Jessica said earlier, the doctor's familiar with Lieber's, so she knew what to say pretty much. Whereas I'm sure if I went to a different doctor that didn't know anything about Lieber's, like the first doctor yesterday said, I asked you, have you ever talked to somebody with Lieber's? Have you ever dealt with somebody? And he says, oh yeah, thank your mom for it. I'm like, that's really what I wanted you to say. I wanted you to say, yeah, it's part of the optic nerve and all these different things. But instead of making a joke out of it, I better thank your mom. I wonder how much she really knew about the disease and stuff.
Yeah, that was kind of weird that he said that. You can thank your mom.
Mm-hmm.
So Jessica, do you see that doctor all the still often or regularly? Or
I should really go. I haven't been in forever. I actually live in Tucson now, so I'm 2 hours south. But
wow.
But I should put it on my to-do list and definitely go see. Especially so, I probably haven't been back in a year and a half.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so not horrible, but I probably should probably go at least once a year. But gosh, so I mean, just because I think she's fantastic, she did her fellowship in Florida with Boston Palmer. So she knows a lot of history on LHON, and of course, every person I know in Phoenix that has LHON sees her. And she's seen my entire family. I actually have her cell phone number. I send her pictures of my eyes when I think they're getting weird. If I have like dry eye, I don't know. I feel like I'm crazy sometimes.
Is this the same doctor? Because you didn't seem like she knew too much about it, Kim. Am I mistaken?
There's two different doctors. What's your, a male just yesterday. And then today saw her.
But what did you say her name was, Jessica?
Well, her maiden name is Harrow, but her married name is like Kowalski or something.
It's Kowalski, Angela.
Yeah, Angela.
Cool.
And I saw her before, right after the Dinner in the Dark. I made an appointment and I saw her when I wasn't having any symptoms. just because I wanted to get a baseline in case anything did happen, that I would have all that information. And, you know, what better person to go to than somebody who's knowledgeable about it?
Yeah, for sure. She's got it down.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys done any studies at all?
So, just kind of, so part of this call, we just don't talk about clinical trials. There's definitely some fantastic clinical trials out there. So reach out to maybe the LHON to LHON. On this conference call, we make it more of a support group and more of conversation in that sense versus anything on the professional side.
Okay, fair enough.
But there's some out there, so definitely do some research. And there's some in Phoenix.
I will. I definitely
add you to that LHON. I didn't think of that.
Anybody else have any other advice for Kim? I think there's another person on our call that his son was just diagnosed. Do you have anything that maybe you learned along the way that you'd like to share?
Eric's ready.
Are you talking to me? Not sure.
It was Brian Davis.
Oh, Brian? Yeah, Brian.
Okay, I'm sorry. I missed the question.
I was just wanted to get your opinion if you were willing to share, just since your son was just affected. Kim's on the line, and Kim is in the beginning of her stages as well, looking at MRIs and blood work and things like that. Just as someone that's also going through it in the early stages, are there any things that you guys can maybe share that you're doing differently, that at least as you guys are both kind of going through some similar stages right now?
We did, it seemed like a month of solid doctor visits.
Okay.
But, you know, it was, he had headaches to start early on, and we thought maybe his glasses were wrong, so he got new glasses. And the optometrist, you know, thought that was good, that seemed to do good, and then almost immediately after that, he realized, you know, he couldn't see again, but it took a week before he could really say, you know, it's blurriness, it's in the middle, it's, you know, that kind of thing. So then that set us off on a whole new round of, you know, going to the doctors. I will say we worked with Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and they were really good about getting us to the neuro-ophthalmologist and we saw Dr. Goldnick, I think, is our main guy. And he was really good, really identified what it was, kind of first shot, and ordered the genetic testing. And now the genetic testing was a whole other round of problems because, you know, St. Elizabeth didn't want to do it because we weren't going to their genetic counselor. Then it was because he wasn't an adult, they weren't going to do it at all. And then we had to see a genetic counselor at Children's, and then they would consent to take the blood and do the test. So that took 6 weeks. We just got that back about 2 weeks ago. And that came up inconclusive because he's got one of the rare strains. But I will say, at least I've heard people had horror tales of spinal taps and things like that. We didn't have anything that severe.
So was anybody affected in your family?
We have no history at all. Nothing. This was totally out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
No visual problems other than a little astigmatism.
Brian, where do you live?
We're just south of Cincinnati, Ohio, right in northern Kentucky.
Okay.
Hi, Kim. This is Lindsay. I live in Cleveland. I was diagnosed in October of 2018, and the biggest thing I can say is make sure you advocate for yourself and don't let the doctors try and play you around and get unnecessary tests done. I'm in the medical field, so luckily I had that on my shoulders, but I remember a couple of the doctors had wanted me to go through plasmapheresis, and I told them no. I said that's not necessary. So just make sure that you advocate for yourself, and if something doesn't feel right, let them know.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, thank you.
Right.
I don't want to say this. Luckily, I have my sister and my nephew who are already, my nephew were already tested for the gene. So we know we have it in our family line. So I know that I don't have to do that test. But how do you get diagnosed? Is it just when you said diagnosed, is it just because you do the genetic test and you've got Leber's, or how do you find out?
Well, after the whole process started, they of course did the MRIs and all that. And then I saw a really, really good neuro-ophthalmologist. I was actually hospitalized for a weekend. And then I saw a mitochondrial specialist. And then they put a rush in on the genetic testing and then got that back. And that's when it was confirmed. But I have no family history. So luckily you have family history on your side.
Yeah. Thanks, Kenneth.
Right. That's half the battle.
Yeah, you're welcome. I remember my nephew. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say hi. This is Jacqueline Kosinski. How are you guys?
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi. I just, with my son, I have three children, and they're all carriers, but my youngest has been having some problems, you know, with his vision. So I think we most recently went to a mitochondrial specialist, and I had the older two tested, but unfortunately I lost that paperwork when we had a house fire. So I'm going to have to do it again at some point. And that's been a real problem for me trying to get them tested. But my youngest I brought into Manhattan. We live on Long Island, so it's a big truck into the city and everything. And we had to go to Columbia Presbyterian. We saw a mitochondrial specialist, and he diagnosed, you know, he did the genetic testing there to just get a confirmation. But the thing is, even though you know you have a family history of it, you still need that documentation if you ever want to participate in anything. So it's important just to have that piece of paper, even though you already know you have it in your family.
Oh, that's good to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that is good to know.
That's really important. Yeah, because I think I – okay, well, we'll talk about that later, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for that information.
Sure.
And I think, Jackie, I think you and I are Facebook friends, so Kim, I could connect to you guys if you wanted to ask more questions about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because then, Jackie, you're affected also.
Yeah, I'm affected.
Yeah.
So I got myself retested while I was there, and it took about 2 months to get the confirmation, but they didn't have to put on a rush for me, but, you know, for my son, I got it back a little faster.
Mm.
How long did it take to get your son's test back?
It was probably a month or so, I would say, at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jacqueline, you live in New York?
Yeah, I live on Long Island.
Okay, so you're the one who knows Paul Dennett, right?
Right. I haven't
you
seen
met,
him.
You met 30 years ago or something?
We met a long time ago in
okay, I've talked to you on the phone a long time ago. This is Wayne.
Is this Wayne? Oh, hi. How are you?
Yeah. Hello. Good. We've talked before. Yeah.
Yeah. Good to hear you. So, yeah, so it was good just to have that piece of paper. Now, with my other children, originally 30 years ago, I got tested through the Iowa State University. That's where the doctor had sent the blood work back then from New York. But and they actually still had my sample on file, but they told me that my older two, who are in their 20s, their samples were no longer viable for some reason. So I would have to get them retested. And they're in their 20s, and, like, they're not affected at this point, so they're not in any rush to get it tested. But, you know, they know they're going to have to at some point if they want to have a written confirmation that – just because it helps the doctor to make a diagnosis, too. You
well, it's also, good to have them tested because they are a carrier, but also have baseline testing done so that if at any point, this is Lisa from Canada.
Yeah.
I know my son is a carrier, obviously, because I'm affected. But I've had baseline testing done on his vision just so they have something to go by so far so good. No problems whatsoever with his vision, and I hope and pray never ever happens to him. But he goes back every year, once a year, for an eye examination, and they, you know, do a baseline test at my request, just to give me more peace of mind than anything. It's good to have baseline testing, whether, you know, they're not affected at all, so they have something to go by, for sure.
When my kids were younger, this is Jackie again, I used to take them every year into Manhattan and just have the baseline checked, and they could see the most minute changes, but they could also sort of see, like, if something's going to happen soon in case,
yeah,
you know. So it's good to have that baseline testing. But now they're in their 20s. They're a little more difficult, and it's really hard to get my son to go, and he kind of doesn't want to hear about it. He gets a little angry about it, you know. So mm-hmm. It's hard because, you know, they're adults now, and, like, I try to pass on the information, but they don't always want to hear about it, you know. And now I have a grandson, so I want to have an open relationship with my daughter, who's only 21, but for her to know, yeah. Also, you know, for her child. But, you know, all you could do is give them the knowledge once they get to a certain age, and then what they do with it is going to be up to them.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Hey, Jesse, are you still there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. Oh my gosh, were you reminding me that it was 6 o'clock already? Time flies when you're having fun. Like, I'm like, why is Andy tripping? And I was like, oh, I looked down at the time. I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, wow, it's already been top of the hour. So. Thanks for Annie for wrapping us up. And do you want to remind me?
I'm not saying we have to end, but I wanted to go ahead and, if anyone did have to jump, give them a wrap up to some degree. But
no, I appreciate it. This is why we're an awesome team. No, at this time I will wrap up the call in the sense that I'm going to turn off the recording. But please feel free to stay if you guys want to hang out, ask some more questions. I'll just take us off recording. But before we do. Couple of quick announcements that I was like, Liz is always good at this, but Annie, when is our next call in July?
The next call is July 3rd. It's the day before the 4th of July, actually. As always, it's the first Wednesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific here in the U.S. So same time next month. And also other dates to keep in mind, the conference is end of this month. The actual dates, I believe the UMDF conference starts on the 26th, Down the Hill is the 27th, and then LHON is conference is the 28th and 29th. That's Friday and Saturday.
Perfect. Well, we hope to see you guys all there. The conference is a fantastic resource for so much information, but it is just like this call, but in person and even better. So, definitely recommend if new or old, at whatever stage of LH1 that you're in, it's definitely a fantastic trip. It's memories that you will take for a lifetime and friendships that you will always be able to carry with. And so definitely recommend you guys pop over. Sad I'm not able to make it for another year, but 2020 is definitely my year I'm making it to it. So definitely planning on that, but looking forward to a fantastic hearing about how great the conference is going to be. So have a blast to everyone that's going. Safe travels to everyone near and far heading over to Washington, D.C. And good luck rallying on the Hill. That was a fantastic experience. So definitely recommend going out there and trying to rally for all the support that we need. So I'm going to cancel in this recording for a second.